Hello, everyone, and welcome back to BoJack HorsePod presents Toucan Bird Pod. Today, we will be talking about Season 3, Episode 4 of Toucan Birdie, Leaf Raking. I'm, of course, Kirsten McInnes, joined, as always, by the lovely Lindsay Wilson. Lindsay, how are you?
I am okay. I am still sick, but improving. But much more importantly, we have a guest for the first time in, like, 15 episodes.
It's been so long. Our last guest was, when Chappelle joined us in Season 1?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. It turns out no one watched Season 2 or 3 of Toucan Birdie except us.
Impossible to access. What do they think?
It's okay. Actually, no, I know Maddie Fresh has watched it because he's going to be coming on in a few episodes.
Excellent.
For a very specific episode. But Maddie's not here today. We have one of our all-time great guests. The Horse Girls and Bird Boys love him. It's Sam Stanish. Sam, how are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm good, not sick, just living it up on a Sunday. Why did you guys go so long without a guest?
Nobody watched the episodes.
No one really watched the show. So it's like, well, we're asking people, oh, what episodes do you want to do? And they're like, I never watched it. Like, I'll pick one. And then it's kind of hard to be motivated to pick an episode of a show you've never watched.
I can sympathize and empathize, whichever one means I've experienced the same.
I think both work. You have a lot of people who haven't watched Buffy in your life, right?
Fewer and fewer as the years go on. Well, I know what I meant. I can sympathize with not having seen these seasons of this show.
of course. Yeah, but we made you choose an episode, and you picked this episode based on the guest stars.
Yeah.
How did that hold up for you?
Well, I definitely recognized Paul F. Tompkins' voice, but then I forgot who I was looking out for. And I don't know who John Early was playing in that episode, but apparently he was in it.
And that's the case for a lot of Tuca and Birdie, that they'll be like, oh, it's John Early. And then we're like, but who was he?
It's like he probably had like one voice or something, one line. Because even on IMDb, it just said voice. And I was like,
exactly.
Yeah, I figured.
Like, it doesn't tell us who Paget Brewster was. It doesn't tell us who Max Greenfield was. Like, Max Greenfield, you could figure out a little bit more easily. I feel like his voice is so distinct. But still, it's like nobody cares about seasons 2 and 3 of Toucan Birdie. Like, the wiki is not updated. IMDb is not updated. We're the only people who seem to care.
Out here doing the work.
And not to come in hot, but I would say that this episode left me unimpressed.
Yeah, this episode was crazy. This episode is insane. Like the last episode, we would have been able to have like a really meaningful discussion, and then it would have been another one of you coming on to talk about alcoholism.
Oh, wow. So, we should have done that one. I have something to say.
Yeah. So I guess the kind of the background that you don't have about why Tuca is so like triggered by the leaves and trees is she's just broken up with a tree man who was a full alcoholic, knows he's an alcoholic, and was like, never ask me to stop drinking, was like his one rule for her in their relationship. And he like was able to kind of drink and have fun, and she never saw, you know, like the dark side of that. And then she goes to his apartment and he was like done a full binge, and because he's a tree, it's like the tree is like rotting while he's trying, very visceral imagery. So that's why she's so triggered by the leaves, because she was like, I can't help you through this.
I got that she had broken up with someone, a tree, in the previous episode.
An odd sentence.
I love all the character designs, and I just feel like I root for this show, and I do really like all of the people who work on it, and the cast, and everything. Love BoJack Horseman. And then I just feel like I've never fully like connected with the show in the same way, and it feels it's sad.
I think it's also hard because of the switch from being a Netflix show to going to Cartoon Network to them being canceled. Like, on Netflix, it's so accessible, whereas like after watching the first season, you'd probably throw on season 2 if it popped up as a new season on Netflix, right? Because it's so easy. But then when it switches networks, it's harder to watch. And so less people have watched it, and less people are going to give it a chance because they didn't connect to it as much as they did to, say, BoJack Horseman.
And would you say that, I mean, you're doing a podcast about it, but would you say season 2 and 3 are good / worth watching?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, very much so. I think that they are. They build really well. They do obviously take some big kind of kooky swings throughout both seasons, but it always all comes together to a story that is very emotionally gripping and you want to see like what happens next. I have been very vocal on this podcast that I think a big reason why the show doesn't succeed is because it's about female friendship in like a healthy female friendship way and not in like a dramatic female friendship kind of way. But
yeah, I think we said we like season 2 better than season 1. Like if we had to definitely rank them. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give her a go sometime, I promise.
Don't lie to us, Sam.
It's okay, Sam. We know that you probably don't have time and it's okay.
Speaking of time.
Whoa, what a segue.
Speaking of time, what time is it right now? Oh my God. He's so good. It's like he's been on this podcast before. So we've been doing What Time Is It Right Now, but we're not doing holidays because we don't know when these podcasts are coming out, just so you know.
Sure.
What time is it?
So right now, it is Sunday, January 7th, 2024. It is 12:22 p.m. in the Pacific time zone where I am, 3:22 p.m. in the Eastern time zone where Sam is, 4:22 p.m. for Lindsay in Atlantic, 8:22 p.m. in London, and 4:22 a.m. in the morning of Monday, January 8th in Hong Kong. And that's what time it is right now.
First, what time is it right now of 2024?
Oh my God.
Wow.
Wow. Incredible.
You guys have been doing this podcast for so long.
So long.
Yeah, but there's been like lengthy breaks at this point. Like we took a lot of 2023 off, which we needed to do, but hopefully we can get more into the groove. We want to make sure that we have all of season 3 ready, or at least almost ready, before we start releasing it, so that people just get it 10 weeks in a row and they don't have to wait. Mm-hmm. And then we're moving on to Veep, baby. But yes, Tuca and Birdie, season 3, episode 4, leaf-raking. Lindsay, what did you think about this episode?
I think this episode is very silly, but it's like a good way, I think, of getting into the, I think, inevitable question about Birdie and Speckle about like, what are they thinking about their future? And like, do they want to have kids? And I think it's been like alluded to a little bit in previous episodes, but they've never really talked about it. And I think it's been sort of hinted at that they don't really want to pursue it, but I don't know. It feels like we had to address it. And I think this is a very effective way of making them talk about it. And I think it's kind of an interesting way of like the way that they wrap it up, I think is very Tuca and Birdie, where it's not like, we're going to get married and have babies and it's going to be perfect nuclear family birds, you know?
Well, they live in a very small apartment, so it wouldn't work that well. Sam, what did you think of the episode overall?
I love my girls and...
hated it.
Well...
Hate is a strong word.
I didn't hate it. It's just... It is very, like, I like the surrealism is fine. Like, I like it. It just is not, it wasn't hitting for me. I obviously don't have the context and whatever, but it's like maybe something a little more, and obviously I'm about to say I love the surreal thing, but maybe something a little more real could have happened. But like, what is the Tuca plotline? You know what I mean? Like, what,
yeah, 100%.
Why can't it be about something else?
Yeah, I'm leaning more towards you than Lindsay, to be honest. Like, I think this is the weakest episode of Tuca and Birdie we've covered in quite some time. It really doesn't... To me, we've had such a rich Tuca story so far this season, which has been so refreshing. And then this time it's like, I guess you could say, oh, she's learning that she can't just have meaningless sex to fill a void or some, like, I guess you could stretch it to make it that, but like, then it's not, because she just ends up super horny at the end anyway. So like, why did they do it? Why did they make it this, you know?
Yeah. And one of the things that I think we've said about like seasons 2 and 3 that are improved over season 1, I think the improvement is largely around Tuca, where they actually give her a story and have more to do for her. But I think this episode kind of goes back to old tropes a bit of where they fall into those old patterns of being like, oh yeah, she just likes having sex and being wacky. And it's like, all right, well, fine. So
It
that
felt very
storyline.
season
Yeah,
one.
I agree. Yep.
And I like the idea, obviously, like she maybe we could have had it where it's more like she's thinking that she's totally over the relationship and she's not even thinking about it anymore. She's totally past it. But it's like I felt like the realization at the end didn't like connect to anything that had happened before, where she was like, oh, I am still thinking about the tree guy. And it's like, okay, I guess.
Okay, so I guess should we just talk about the Tuca plot line and just get out of the way?
Sure. Push it to
So,
the side.
like,
Yeah.
let's get it over with because it's wild. So, they're going to the leaf raking regional competition, and Tuca is she's horned up. She wants to get sex from the leaf rakers, who are like not a sexy group of birds. Like, they're all just in big sweaters.
Notably, like she is the connective tissue to the leaf raking, and that it's her sister, whose name I can't remember, and brother-in-law, who have the little niece that we've
Yeah,
met
it's
before,
Terry
Tulip
and
Carrie.
Thomas.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then
I have
their daughter
competitive
is
leaf
Tula.
raking Schmidt, is what's written in my notes.
Guess name is Thomas. And all of them are named Tom, in case you didn't
Yes.
notice when they were announcing them.
Yes. Perfect. Yes.
And so she gets spotted by like a concessions worker who's like, oh, she could be the one. And they bring her down to like the lunchroom for the people that work at the stadium. And they're talking about needing to have sex with a whole team of leaf rakers, which is apparently six people.
Yes, many have tried. No one has ever succeeded. Maybe you are the one to succeed and break the curse on the stadium.
Yeah, but
It
they don't
honestly
tell her
needed
about
to
the
be
curse
more
at
people.
first. Right.
Yeah.
Six is not enough. It's like that could happen. But like if it was like, I feel like a football team is like 30 dudes or whatever. Like, why isn't it just like
Yeah, it should
there's
be the
40?
whole team on the field, plus the ones on the bench, plus the water boy. Like, let's make it a challenge.
Yeah, I mean it's like it's a cartoon. It could be whatever. Like, they could draw
Yeah.
it. I loved Tuca's line where she was like, "I'm surrounded by nuggos, like ugly people. It's uggos who are not ugly in a hot way." There are people who are ugly in a hot way, and I'm glad that this show is bringing that to light.
Finally.
Listen, if you date men, you're gonna deal with nuggos. How it is. But yeah, so yeah, there's a curse. If you don't, all the six people on the team need to reach orgasm, and there needs to be six female orgasms for the curse to be broken. And if the curse is not broken, you have to stay and work at the stadium forever and live there.
Everyone thinks it's so easy, but nobody's ever done it. And the concession worker's like, I almost did it years ago, but now I can't even look at a hot dog.
Oh no. Meanwhile, Sam said, I think it's easy. I think six is too easy. Make it more.
It feels very doable.
I can't remember which one of the workers it is that they say, I came in here with hubristic notions and swinging hips, and I found that very funny.
I think that was the security guard woman. They call themselves the Sisters of the Stadium,
Yes.
also.
Bunch of
So,
old people telling me what to do with my body.
classic. So Tuca trains
Typical.
all of the sisters how to be sexy.
I think is she training them, or she's training with them?
I think she's like training with them, but through her training with them, they are unlocking the sexiness within that they had
Yeah.
lost being trapped in the stadium.
They use their hips to put the keys in the hole. They put a hot dog in a bun.
Yeah, it's very. Yeah, this plotline sucks.
Yeah, it's bad. Even as we're talking
Yeah.
through it, it's like, wow, it's even less here than I
It's there's
remembered.
nothing there. Like, even the whole episode, like, even the Speckle and Birdie part. If I had watched this episode more recently, Sam, when you suggested it, I would have been like, no, come on for a different episode. But it had been so long since I watched it that I didn't remember that this is what was going to happen.
I know,
Yeah,
and I
really
picked
the
it for the guest
only.
stars, and I didn't even notice them.
Yeah, they're not even there.
Yeah, the only thing that I think really works about the episode is like at the very end, and I don't think that it's worth it to get there.
No, it's unfortunate. It really is. But so Tuca is like, it's fine. I can solve the curse. I can save us all. I'll go into super horny mode, which is like when she glows pink and is so horny that everyone would want to sleep with her. But
She's
she
the
can't
one.
even. She is. She's the one.
More the one than ever. The
I know. I mean,
oneiest
that was funny.
one.
She couldn't even get through one Leaf Raker.
Yes, she's imagining Figgy, thinking about him, and just like picturing him decaying and dying. And she's just like crying while making it with this man.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it doesn't work.
Good on this Leaf Raker, physical cues, understanding. Let's stop.
Yes.
Yeah, Tom's a good guy. He knows not to continue when the woman he's with is openly weeping,
Openly
so that's
weeping.
great.
There's an announcer over the PA system that's like, she's not over it at all. Like, she's reliving her past or whatever.
Yeah, I was confused by this because I thought it was supposed to be that like what ha is happening to Tuca is also like happening in the leaf raking competition, but then it started being so specific that I was like, are we to believe, like, is this in Tuca's head? Is this just for us? Is this actually happening?
I would hate to impart the laws of logic to this show, but the whole reason she's in the locker room is because it's halftime. So there's not even supposed to, and there's the whole team is in there. So it's like, what game is going on?
You're right. I did note that and then didn't say it. So thank you, Sam. Lindsay, what
Sorry.
do you think's happening here? Like,
Going
what's going
on.
on? What is the announcer? Is it real? Is it in Tuca's head? What do you think?
I definitely had it as being just in Tuca's head because she's like, oh, okay, like there's announcing happening. Like, I'm gonna like impose this onto what I'm feeling. It's like, oh shit. And having this realization because later she's gonna say, I've realized that I am sad about breaking up with Figgy. And she was kind of lying to herself and everyone else all through the beginning of the episode. So I feel like it's a voice in her mind.
Wow, that
With the
makes more
surrealism
sense.
of the show, it's kind of like, if it's happening in their head, if it's happening in real, it's like it's the same.
That's true. It is often hard to tell what's real and what's not real in this show. But so she's worried. She thinks I failed. We are not going to get out of this. I'm going to have to work in the gift shop, which is where you have to sell knickknacks to the worst kind of nerds, sports nerds. I agree.
I also agree.
But it's okay because through training, she gave the stadium sisters their sexy power, and then they had an orgy with the whole team, and they're free.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that you can't do it, and we're back in action. So, yeah. But then they all decide to just keep working there.
Yeah, they live there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're too scared. They need this bright stadium lights to sleep.
Yes. Seems like a nightmare.
My
The big
God.
sensor block was fun with like the holes being cut out, different people talking
Yes.
through it.
Yes. What did you think of the ice cream being present that looked like a butt?
It did look like a butt, I'll say
It
that
did.
much.
It did. It really did look like a butt. But yeah, so that's what's going on with Tuca. Hopefully, the next episode, we will get more information about her as a person, and maybe she'll have a real plot line. I'm so sorry, Sam.
What a bummer of an episode for her.
She learns she can't have sex and she's still thinking about her ex, but then she does.
Yeah, they're like, doesn't mean you can't still have sex. And she's like, oh my God, you're
You're
right.
right. It's like that wasn't really part of
Yeah.
the.
Yeah, because then she's like scissoring with one of the stadium sisters. I blocked
Floating
that
in the
out.
air.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, is this supposed to be a statement on sex and like our society or something? Like, is there
I don't
supposed
think
to be a
so.
greater meaning here?
I don't think so. I think this was just like the wacky thing. I mean, it's just a whole episode of wacky things in my mind. I was like, oh, it needs to be something wacky to offset the like difficult child conversation. But no, I don't think there's more to this.
Okay, well, then let's not waste our lives on it. Lindsay, were you happy to see Dapper Dog is back as the co-announcer of the
Was.
leaf raking competition?
Yes, I have Dapper Dog commentating. So clearly, I was very
Yes.
excited. I
Dapper
was
Dog.
excited too. I feel
Yeah.
like I thought that everyone in this universe was either a bird or a tree, and now there's a dog too.
Yes, originally voiced
Yes.
by our good friend of the pod, RB Dub.
Wow.
Not
But
anymore,
is
but
he
he was.
still? We don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think he only did it in the
Not
first episode.
IMDb could never tell you that.
Yeah.
IMDb tells us nothing about this show anymore. It's really frustrating. Like, even seeing the list of the whole cast of the episode, they don't tell us who they are. So, like, the guest stars of the episode, we've got Paget Brewster, John Early, Issa Eden, Richard E. Grant, Max Greenfield, Luke Lowe, Natasha Rothwell, Paul F. Tompkins, and Deborah Wilson. And the only two named are Natasha Rothwell's Terry Toucan, and Richard E. Grant is Holland.
And Paul F. Tompkins was the dad of the family that they're talking to at the game. I recognize that.
And Max Greenfield as the Lee freaking brother-in-law.
As Thomas.
Yes. I think it's the second time we've seen him, possibly. Is that right?
Yes, they had Thanksgiving at Terry and Thomas's house in season two. That's when Speckle had the cowboy's clothes, and cowboy had Speckle's clothes.
Oh, that was a good episode.
Speaking of RB Dub, I just read his book of short stories, Someone Who Will Love You in All Your Damaged Glory. Mm-hmm. Highly recommend.
Yep.
So good and fun. I was like laughing, and then like there would be a line where it just like pierces you through the heart. So really, really, really loved the book of short stories he wrote.
Yes, me too. When we talked to him, I confronted him about the fact that I read Move Across the Country like 2 days before moving across the country. I was like, hope your sadness doesn't find you there. I was like, how dare you?
I know.
He's like, I'm sorry, are you mad because I was like too astute? I was like, yes, I guess so.
I'll have to go back and re-listen, because that story was read at a very... A nexus point for me as well. So lots to think about.
Definitely. Yep.
Yeah, I'm too scared to read that collection of short stories at this point, because I don't think I have another cross country move in me. And what, it's going to make me move across the country again? No, absolutely not. I don't have it in me.
Just skip that one. Read all the other ones. They're very good.
And that one's the shortest one. So
yes,
you can get through it pretty quick.
Yes.
Ugh. We'll see about that. So, did either of you get any sort of indication through this episode how the sport of leaf raking works?
No real indication about the rules of it, but I do love that it appears to be extremely structured for the contestants, where all of them are just like, yes, we now know that this is the time where we like stare off into the middle distance. And like, this is the time. I love like how aggressive everyone is at the beginning, and then they're just like calmly raking. It's great.
Think about the passage of time, another summer come and pass.
Yes, the fleeting nature of time.
It's too much. So Birdie and Speckle are watching with Terry and Tula because Tuca's off on her horny mission. But not for long, because Thomas injures himself. He steps on the right. How did he first injure himself? Something fell on him? He fell down?
I just wrote he got hurt by his rake.
I think he fell down and the rake hit him, but then when he stands up, he like steps on the rake and it hits him in the face again.
Iconic cartoon gag.
Literally, if it's kind of like the thing people say about putting a gun on the thing, but if you put a rake in a cartoon, somebody's got to step on it and have it slam.
Chekhov's rake joke.
And so there's a very specific rule in leaf raking. If someone is injured and cannot play, a replacement must be found within 90 seconds or the team forfeits. Why wouldn't you just have like someone on the bench for this type of situation?
Because then there'd be more than six of them.
True.
And that's too hard for an orgy, I guess.
Sex with... Never mind. No, it was the other team. It was the other team.
Their brother-in-law.
Yeah, thank God it was the other team.
I was like...
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
God.
He's like, if you've ever loved me, Harry, you must take over for me.
She says this is how he proposed to me too.
Yeah.
It's kind of like government positions that they get taken over by their spouses.
Is that how government positions work?
Some of them, right? I'm not a civic.
Happen on the West Wing.
Not a civic mind, but I'm pretty sure that there are times, and my civic mind, who usually lives with me, is out on a walk right now, and I can confirm with him, but I'm pretty sure if someone dies in like some offices, or maybe all offices, sometimes their spouse will like step in.
All right,
I'm gonna say it's not all offices, because that's not what happens when the president
well no but I mean like but there are like I think it like happens in like the Senate even. I don't know. Don't
In
in
the
the
West
West
Wing,
Wing.
they did it for
Listen,
like a, I think it was like a congressman or something in the West Wing.
American
Yeah.
politics don't make any sense. So I
Yeah,
like I'm gonna
no.
believe you that it happens. I would love if you could get Mike to confirm which offices it happens in for my personal curiosity.
The Center for American Women in Politics has a page on their website titled "Widows Who Succeeded Their Husbands in Congress."
What?
It's
Okay.
pretty long list, honestly.
That's crazy.
It is. It's like that. Why is it? Why? How could that be the system? But it
Why
is.
does it happen so often?
It happened in 2021.
My
Wow. Hey.
God. Have either of you ever been in a situation where you're asked to watch a child and you are afraid because you think you might accidentally or on purpose kill the
That
child?
was so funny. I laughed so hard when Birdie is like, oh my God. Like, so they, whatever, I guess we didn't say it, but Terry asks if they can watch Tulip while she goes to rake. And when Birdie's like, oh my God, what if I kill her? What if I do it on purpose? I laughed so hard at that.
The intrusive thoughts can stay in, you know?
Yes, they
It's like
can.
obviously that will run through your mind. You're like, oh my God, what if a horrible situation occurs and suddenly I need to kill the child or whatever? And but it's sort of like
Don't say it out loud.
to the mom.
Especially to
Yeah,
the
keep it in. Keep that thought in your head for
Yeah.
sure.
I'm only here for book recommendations, but a couple years ago I did read a book about intrusive thoughts and working
Oh.
against them, and I can't remember what it is right now, but it was very great, very effective and helpful for me.
Okay, good.
Won't be driving off the side of the road anytime soon.
We had a child in our home last weekend. One of our friends was here with their kid, and I basically spent like the several days prior to their arrival being like, the kid's gonna fall down the stairs. Oh my God. Like, we gotta find something. We gotta find a baby gate, the stairs. And then, sure enough, the baby didn't fall down the stairs, but spent most of the weekend attempting to fall down the stairs. So I don't know. I just think that I'm onto something, thinking something terrible is gonna happen.
No, but that's what it is about children, is they want to be dead. You know,
Yeah.
like they don't know enough of how to protect their own life, so
Yeah.
they just
Cam did say
don't.
that afterward. He was like, I definitely knew they'd get into stuff, but I didn't realize how right you were in terms of they intentionally go for the most dangerous thing they can find. I was like, yes, always.
There's something chemical where they have to be so cute to us or else we would kill them, right? Like, I think that's like
Because they'd just be so
evolutionary
frustrating. I
old
do think
thing.
that's a
So
thing.
really Birdie was onto something in her own. She's like accessing her primal instincts. She comes up
Yes,
with that kind of
her
stuff. Yeah,
lizard bird
true.
brain.
So Birdie immediately is like, she doesn't know how to talk to her. She's like, what's your favorite vehicle for a municipal purpose? Which
So
is
hard at
not how
that.
you talk to a kid.
It's the right subject. You know, a lot of kids do love fire trucks, mail trucks,
Love a
garbage
garbage
trucks.
truck.
Yeah,
Like literally
but
just say,
she's
oh, do
so
you like
close.
garbage trucks?
What's your favorite vehicle used for municipal purposes? Incredible. And then are
I
you supposed to do
still,
eye contact? Is also
I
great.
every once in a while when you're in the New York City subway, a train will come by that is not a train that is like for riding. It just like goes through the station and it's like open cart filled with like trash, like bags of trash to get it from where it was to where it goes. And it's the trash train, and I love it. It's like a blessing when it comes through. So I totally get where kids are coming from when they say they love garbage trucks.
Wow.
Trash train. I like that.
Like
That's really
the
great.
sixth slug in the last episode.
It's exact that Sam, we really should have just had Sam on
Well,
for when Birdie got eaten
we
by
can
a
re-record
snake.
it. You said I was the only, nobody will be burned by that episode not being released.
That's true.
Just me
Secret
for having
episode
already
just
edited
for
it.
the we'll just give it to the patrons.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
The
what a
lost
perk.
episode.
So Birdie just is like, what do you want? Do you eat candy? Do you eat solid foods? Even it's like a full child and they've had Halloween with her before. So I don't really understand why it's like, oh, do you eat solid foods? And Birdie buys her everything, even though Speckle's like, oh, maybe don't spoil her.
Yeah, this is going to be
Spoiled.
like a central sort of tension in the episode is Speckle's just like naturally awesome with kids and Birdie is super not, and he's like, no, I think maybe we should have some boundaries, and like that's how I handle my clients. And it cuts to him like Let's finish your gazebo before we add your Greek columns. Very good. Very good.
If you give them a column, they're going to want columns.
Then it's going to be Tunisian columns.
Yeah, if you give them Greek columns, next they're gonna want Tunisian columns. So you have to have boundaries. But Birdie does not have boundaries, which I we've already known that from two seasons of the show prior that she struggles with boundaries. And they're now just fully pretending to be Tulip's parents. And they've like befriended another couple with a kid that's like, oh, it's just so exciting to meet other parents.
And they start making stuff up about their family and their home and their life and all the things that their baby can do. They're like, she's a musical prodigy. And they are lying a lot. And but
It's
then the
all
kid is in
lies.
on it. She's like, she's also lying. She's like, we have a pool full of candy. She's down.
Yes. Speckle being so into the term rehearsal is one of my favorite things of the episode. He's like, she's always doing rehearsal because she's a musical prodigy.
That's so silly. I feel that a child of that age normally would then be like, no, lying is wrong. You're not my mommy and daddy. Why are you saying that? I just don't think a young child is gonna be going along with the bit. Like, you're not really good at yes anding at that age.
But if the woman who's giving you so much food and candy and little glove finger up game things is telling you to do something, I think you're gonna do it.
Also, I think they were like doing it like, oh, it's like an imagination game rather than a lie. And I just think like her, I mean, she says we have a pool full of candy is like implausible, but I can imagine kids getting much wackier and more disgusting with their lies.
So this is where Speckle's like, oh, here, just I have games on my phone, gives the phone over. What game was this? Did anyone write it down? It was inappropriate.
Was it?
Not
I
that
thought it
I
was
can
inappropriate, and that's
remember.
why he took it away.
No, I thought it was. It's just that she was doing a bunch of in-app purchases and was like,
Yes. Oh.
it was kind of like a screen time thing. Plus, she was spending money, and so he grabbed the phone back, and that it looked like it was like Candy Crush, basically, or whatever.
No, that makes
And
sense that it was purchases, which I
yeah.
would say is inappropriate for her to be doing on Speckle's phone.
Yes, agreed. Speckle's going on this long thing about like being a stay-at-home dad, and he loves it, and it's giving him so much structure and meaning, and he's finding it really fulfilling, and it's causing Birdie to like have a crisis.
Because in her fantasy, she's a like owns a restaurant and like is a mom, and it's like she has it all, but she's like, do I?
Literally, they do a scene in their imagination of them pushing her on the swings at the park, and Speckle's like, look, you have it all. Just said it out loud. But when she cries and freaks out about losing the phone, Birdie and Speckle get into like a little bit of an argument, and while they are not watching this child, she falls onto the field, thankfully into a pile of leaves so that she doesn't get
Literally
injured.
die. Yeah. They say something at one point where like they're arguing over this not real thing, but basically they're being like, Birdie, you don't give her any boundaries, and Speckle's mad about that. And they're like, maybe she could do something calm and less bitey. And I loved the image of the other parent's kid just like quietly knitting and like softly blowing on his apple cider, like very wholesome stuff from the other kid.
And this is where it's the kiss cam, and then they see that it's Birdie and Speckle on the kiss cam, which changes to the fight cam. And they're fighting about having children.
And I'm glad that they have reached the point where they are able to have this conversation together. And I know this show is all about, the growth and the relationships and like overcoming our anxieties, and maybe the anxieties were preventing them from having this conversation until it came up. But, it's sort of like, well, finally, they had it. What if they did find that they had completely different ideas of how their lives were going to go, and they had to break up and move out?
Yes, it is kind of shocking to me that they've never had any type of conversation like this where they're talking about it and it's like, okay, how is this ever going to work if we have different parenting philosophies? And Birdie's like, I didn't know we were having kids. And then Birdie's like, well, you clearly want to have them. And so obviously they've never had a conversation about like what they want. And so it seems a bit strange that they're only just having it as they're having this fight right
Well,
now.
and see, I got the impression that they probably had talked about, like, we don't want kids. And then through seeing how good Speckle is with kids, Birdie in her brain is like, oh my God, he must want kids. He's so good with them. Like, everything's a lie. We're screwed. Freak out time. That's the vibe I got.
That makes sense because Birdie was also like, well, I don't want to hold you back from a future you so clearly want, or like that kind of thing, even though he might have not. Maybe she was worried that he was lying to her before.
What if I'm holding you back from a life of happy fatherhood? And then they're both just like, oh, no, actually, I don't want this. And they're like, all right, good. Relief and new understanding.
Yeah, I did
Beautiful.
really like that. I feel like you do see a lot on those Reddit threads about men who lied about not actually wanting kids, thinking they could change their partner's mind. So
Definitely.
maybe she feels she fell for that, but thankfully they figure it out. They don't want children and they're not going to have children.
Yes.
And
Congrats to them.
I'm so happy for another childless couple to know what they want. And then they can leave the stadium. It's like the end of the day, everything's over. And they apologize for lying to the group that was next to them. The group says, oh, we were lying to you too. We're grifters. And the little boy gives Speckle back his wallet and says, here, I grifted this from you, which I don't
Top of
think is
his class
the
at grifting school.
it's not the appropriate use of the word grift, I think, when you've stolen someone's wallet, but I
Well,
don't
he
know how
hasn't
that
been going to
happened.
grifting school. He's been lying about that, so he
It
hasn't learned his lessons.
was a
True.
grift.
Nailed
And they're
it.
so proud of him. So,
Also, Terry saves the day and they win the leaf breaking competition, if anyone was wondering
yes.
about
Oh,
that.
yes.
Got a
Very
leaf
important.
through the goal lead, landed in the bag, 6-5, game over. I did something we didn't mention about the game of leaf raking earlier is that the ground is also littered with like pressure sensitive springs that shoot you up into the air if you step on them, which I really liked.
Yeah, I think it's also about like if you get too aggressive with your raking, things will go flying because it's such a calm sport. But yeah, that was really great. After Terry wins, she says to Thomas, like, yeah, this is what you've always dreamed of, and I accomplished it, and it was so easy, like in your face.
Yeah, that was so good.
That's just, I think, normal in a loving relationship to have that sort of reaction.
The
Perfect.
comparison between those like two Birdie and Speckle finding out that they have the same goal, and the couple with the leaf raking, one of them accomplished the other one's goal. She was like, it's mine now.
Yeah, she's probably going to be on the team now. And they'll just
Probably.
kick Thomas
She's
off.
their star player.
Maybe they'll kick
Well, she
someone else
was going
off.
way faster than everyone else.
And a natural leader.
She's used to raking as a chore, not as a sport. And so she's like, let me get it done. And she did.
She's done her 10,000 hours.
Don't get me started on Malcolm Gladwell.
You're gonna out that liar?
He's a lie. I mean, honestly, speaking of grifters, let's talk about Malcolm Gladwell. Shameless plug for the If Books
Yeah,
Could
I was
Kick
gonna say
podcast.
our other
They'll
favorite
cover him.
podcast,
They'll
because
cover
that's like
him.
their
It's
whole job.
fine. Anyways, so that's what happened in the leaf ranking episode. Do either of you have anything else to say about it?
No, I mean, not really. I when you said at the end of our last recording, like, and next time we're talking about leaf raking, I was like, in my mind, I immediately went to like, ugh, that was not my favorite episode. And then I was kind of reading through the notes, trying to be like, maybe there was more to love about it, but talking it through, there's not a lot in this episode. And I do not think that it is worth it for the conclusion we get to, which is them being like, yeah, we don't want to have kids. Like, I don't know.
And we owe Sam like an edible arrangement or something.
I picked this episode, and you know, it's my own fault for not having seen the season before and knowing that this one was lower quality, maybe, and even one of
I
the
should have
worst
warned
ones you've
you.
ever seen. So,
Yeah.
I had a great time talking with you two as always. And the show's fun to look at. It's well, I came away from the show loving all the characters. Designs, all of the animation is so great, and I love the like wacky energy. This was just not its week.
Yeah, I think we could probably recommend some different episodes for you to watch if you want to get the vibe and enjoy it.
I think
Sure.
next week
I've
is a
seen all
better
season
episode.
one. I liked it.
Yeah, season one's pretty good. See, I liked season two better.
Me too.
And I guess when we're done season three, we'll talk about how where we rank season three once we've watched and talked about all of it. Because talking about it does tend to change my perspective sometimes, but just not this time. And that's okay. Well, thank you for joining us, Sam. I'm glad we
Yes,
didn't
a
have to go through it
pleasure.
alone.
Sure. Happy to be here, and maybe if, and I'm sorry if, maybe if I hadn't been here, you would have come at it this a little bit more of a positive spin, but
I
I
don't
thought we
think
had a
so.
great time talking you all through anyway.
Yes, I'm first and foremost a hater, so I don't think it would have changed anything. But Sam, if people want to hear more
Oh my
from you, where
God.
can they find you?
Well, big thing, we started a Bitter Drawers Patreon. So if you love Survivor or me, you can start tossing me $5 a month if you want two extra episodes a month. That's all we're doing in the off season for Bitter Drawers because Survivor's off the air right now. But we're currently releasing episodes ranking everyone who's competed in the new era. We released our first episode of that. Some controversy, and controversy leads to good ratings, which is what we've learned over the years. Sorry, my cat started sneezing like a lot or hissing. I can't really tell. Anyway, I also do a podcast, Buffy Boyfriends with my boyfriend, where we talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, fun stuff. We released the first half of season three last month, and we're trucking on through. We do sort of like a Netflix choir room release schedule now. Just gonna record some episodes and then release them in like a group. And you can follow me at Sam Stanish on Instagram or at Moon Selector on TikTok.
And if you want to hear more from Lindsay, you can listen to her on the podcast of tomorrow, talking about Futurama. Simpsons and Now is still up. It's not gone. So listen while you still can.
Pretty sure
And
it's
she's
only
over
on
on,
Spotify. It's gone from
well,
everywhere
get that
else, I think.
Spotify out. And then you can find her over on Post Show Recaps, talking about what we do in the shadows and various other shows as they come up. If you want to hear more from me, you can follow the Mess Magnets podcast, where myself and Sasha Joseph talk about pop culture, celeb gossip, trending topics. And you can follow the Hot Dummies on Islands podcast feed, where I am joined by various friends to talk about the hottest dummies on the hottest islands. And Lindsay and I will be back next week to talk about season three, episode five of Toucan Birdie, Salad Days. See you then.
Bye.